Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. This is the July 29 edition.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The trade in Chicago at the CME Group finished the month. Did you know this? Higher? We'll check to see if that's a better guide to the futures market than the lower daily weekly closes today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with the co-founder of Allendale and one of the company's lead researchers, Bill Biederman. Our panelists in studio today include Aaron Curtis of Midco Commodities out of Bloomington, Illinois, Ellen Dearden, AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, and Chip Nelliger out of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois. Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Aaron Curtis, at the end of the week, things, weather in particular, was overshadowed by what was happening in Washington, D.C. How long do you think that will remain a problem for the commodity markets?
Well, probably until we get some sort of, or closer to some sort of a solution. I know we got the August 2nd deadline quickly approaching there, the first of the next week. We'll see if we get some sort of a solution done by then, but obviously we're seeing some of the risk aversion here late this week as people kind of want to move to the sidelines, fearing, you know, what could happen next week. So hopefully first of next week we are closer to some solution, but I fear that could not be the case.
And I'll follow up with that and let the other two answer both questions. Will it have a lasting impact on the marketplace?
I don't think so longer term. I think, short term we're still going to be talking about fundamentals once we get into to harvest. Of course, some late season weather here could still have some play. But I think once we get into harvest and figure out what's out there, I think that'll take more precedence. We'll be back to trading a little more fundamentals as we move through the winter.
Ellen Dearden of AgriView.
I think there's two other factors we need to talk about there. One is Friday was the end of the month. There's always a lot of positioning that takes place there. So I think that could have been contributory toward the sell-off. The second thing is, no matter what happens in Washington, it looks like we will be in a position that we'll see money costs increase, and that says that we'll see less fund participation, I think, in the markets, particularly we could see margin requirements increased.
And Chip Nelliger?
Well, I think it's an important issue that the markets really waiting for some direction on, and it's a little unclear right now if something gets hammered out there that is sufficient for the market with large cuts. It could actually be supportive to the dollar and maybe negative to commodities. However, if it stays on the path that it looks like it's been on the last couple of weeks and there's either no agreement or something less than sufficient in the market's mind, dollar could really take a beating, and that could lead to some longer-term commodity buying by the funds.
Chip, by the way, welcome. Thank you for making the trip from Morton to Commodity Week.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Tell me a little bit, since this is your first trip on our show, about your company, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Well, Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, interesting name. It's kind of a concept of thinking outside the box, getting out of the turbulent water, and swimming over to calmer, bluer seas. we work with medium to large size farming operations, helping them with risk management, and really across the board, cash sales advice, basis and storage opportunities, and then any hedging that needs to be taking place throughout the year.
Ellen Dearden, you mentioned margin requirements and that that might have some impact on the marketplace over time. Of course, the CME Group is wanting to increase the corn trading limit for each and every day from 30 to 40 cents. Along the way, they'd also manage to go on the next day if we went limit to 60 cents, but it wouldn't expand after that, so it would be 40 and 60. What do you think of that idea, and what does it do to the marketplace?
I think, number one, it increases volatility, which is going to be a great tool for options traders, particularly sellers of options. I think that I don't think it's a particularly horrible idea. At first blush, I was really opposed to it, but I don't think it's going to be a bad thing in the long pull, and I like the fact that the volatility could increase. We may not have huge price swings in any one day. I like the fact that we only are going to increase the once after we've seen a limit move, that we don't have anything else beyond us, and I don't expect that we're going to see a lot of limit moves.
Aaron, Midco is a subsidiary of Growmark, a larger operator. How does your company view the change or potential change?
Well, I think the National Grain and Feed has been and doing some pretty good work in trying to state basically the hedge side of the or the commercial side of the opinion on that, and that's not we're not definitely not in favor of raising the increased limits. I think when the CME Group issued their proposal, they wanted to start at a 50 cent limit. They've been able to get that moved down to a 40 cent limit, but you know, the farther we get away from that fall of 2006, that time frame, it seems like it's getting farther away from being a hedge friendly market, and I think the higher limits continue to argue for that.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that that's an excellent point. As commercial hedging costs increase from a farmer perspective, that's going to throw more of the emphasis on the farmer for his risk management. There's going to be less opportunities for hedge-to-arrive contracts. And I think longer term, it's just a trend that farmers are going to have to get used to as a matter of taking a little more proactivity and some of the costs are going to be pushed back down to the farmer as far as their risk management goes.
Well, a couple of things. Did any of you participate in the call that the CME Group did earlier in the week? I heard that, and I only heard this secondhand. I checked with the CME Group, but they wrote me back with a very well-worded but non-answer to the question, which was, did this come from the commercials? Did they ask for this? I believe that, and somebody that was on that call said, yeah, that's what the CME Group had suggested. So the cynic in me says two things, and I want to know whether this is right. Is this a way for commercials that might be larger to consolidate the grain handling industry, potentially? That's the cynic in me. I don't know whether that's more than just the cynic. And the other part is I had written a note to one of the larger agricultural loan services and asked, can you provide loans to producers for marketing, in this case, margins? And the answer was simply, we don't encourage that. So, Chip, your discussion there was, I think, sort of spot on to begin with, but maybe you have more to add.
I was not on that call with the CME, but you know, if you take a step back and really think about it, limits are there to kind of keep calmer heads prevailing. But through the options market synthetically, you know, for example, on the June 30th stocks and acreage report, you know, options can kind of trade anywhere. So limits really aren't that big of an issue because synthetically options can trade 50, 60, 70 cents higher or lower. So it's I don't know where it came from. It's probably just a result of $7 corn, the volatility we're seeing, but it is going to increase those costs longer term. So there's going to be some adjustments that need to be made.
Now, for what it's worth, one other note on this. I also talked with Scott Irwin, agricultural economist, and he looked at this situation and said, this seems reasonable to him from the economic standpoint. And you can find that on the Illini Farm Report at ifr.illinois.edu. That's one of the many agricultural programs that I produce. That one comes from the College of ACES, or Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. In Chicago this week, September corn had a high of $6.93. Its low was at $6.62 and a quarter. It settled 24.5 cents lower from the previous week at $6.65 and a half. But on the monthly, it had an outside down month in June and a hook up in July, and it finished 17.5 cents higher. December corn at $6.68 and three quarters, down 16.75 cents for the week. That's, remember, the overnight day trade, open outcry and electronic. But it finished 48.25 cents higher than it did for the month of June, and that, too, was a hookup. Is it good technically?
I think it looks promising. I mean, we had a really puny month during the month of June, and we started out July looking very poor, put the low in for the month on the first trading day, and basically went higher. We talked a week ago that we had had a steady close for all the previous week, and so being down this week doesn't bother me in the least.
I think we got an interesting test here first and next week as we come into the new month. Been kind of stuck in this 665 to 690 area on Dease corn, closed right at the bottom of that, right at the 50-day moving average. So going to be interesting to see how we come into the first and next week and see if we can bounce back out of that again.
Your thoughts on the corn market?
Yeah, I think we're going to find good support anywhere from 655 down to 640 on December futures. The technicals are really hard this time of year because weather is more of an influence, and as that forecast changes, you can really see some big swings price-wise.
How do you view demand in the coming month? Old crop corn.
Oh, well, I think it's going to be strong. I think margins are still there from the livestock side and from the ethanol side. So I think the demand will be hold up pretty well. We are going to keep seeing some more new crop corn as it trickles in from the south as that harvest picks up steam towards the end of the month.
And then turn your attention to that new crop. Will producers, end users that is, be short of old crop and coming into the new crop? And will there be big overs and early ships this fall?
Entirely. That's entirely possible. I think it depends on kind of where you're standing. I think that eastern corn belt is going to continue to drive basis in the central Illinois. Illinois markets, I mean, we're still trading some pretty good overs in Indiana, Ohio. You look at the crop progress in Ohio, still pretty far behind compared to where we are in Illinois. So I think that first half September area, the eastern side of the Corn Belt still is going to see some pretty good basis levels and going to continue to keep this stuff well supported in Illinois, depending on how early some of this early stuff starts to come out.
Neil, and you saw some good signs technically and weren't worried about the marketplace, but the basis has begun to shrink up just a bit.
Basis has begun to shrink up, and that September premium to the December futures is lost ground, went to a discount this week. So those things make me a little nervous. I think the end user is going to be able to source corn in the central Corn Belt. We'll be able to source corn for the month of August. The first half of SEP will be the big problem. Eastern Corn Belt, they're already tight. Western Corn Belt looks like they could be flush, really flush, during the month of August.
September wheat this week, 714 and three-quarter cent top, bottom at 669 and three-quarters. It settled down 19 and three-quarters for the week at $6.72 and a half. It was up 58 and a quarter cents on the month. July, $7.73, down 20 and a half, up 46 for the month. Soybeans, August contract at 1388 top, bottom at $13.49. Settlement price there down 26 cents on the week at 1354 and a quarter. It, too, finished the month higher, 54 and three-quarter cents higher. And November beans at 1357 and a quarter were down 31 cents for the week, but finished up 63 and a quarter cents. The November beans had a triple top. They now have a quadruple top in them. Will there be a move higher yet?
I think that is entirely dependent upon weather in August. The issue here on the bean market is going to be, does the heat continue to build into August? We've been in a dollar range for 6 months. I think the next time we go through 14, it doesn't stop, but that's a big question. Do we get back up and through that level?
I would certainly agree with Chip there. I've been kind of bullish on the beans here. I thought $14, $14.10 will be taken out, and We go another dollar higher than that really easily, but we still haven't been able to get through that 14.10.
And what's your view of the size of the crop at this point for soybeans?
I think we still have potential for the bean crop to continue to get bigger. If this ridge flattens out here late next week, cool down a little bit, get some rains in August, I think this bean crop can continue to grow.
And will that put pressure on the marketplace, and how much?
I think so. As far as technically, not for sure, but I think, if we grow into the fall, I think prices continue to erode, providing the fact that August weather continues to be favorable.
Do you see demand growing?
I think China continues to run that market. I think we'll still have a fairly good export program this winter. I think we've seen China start to come back in here a little bit, securing some new crop supplies. So I think at least on the export side anyway, it's going to continue to be strong.
I didn't like the way beans closed technically to end the week under some key moving averages, but we got a long way to go before the crop's made. I think demand worldwide is still there.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can visit us online at willag.org. Our panelists in studio include Aaron Curtis of Midco, Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing. When we come back, we'll talk with Bill Biederman. He's at Allendale in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Sultry summer weather persisted another week across the Midwest, although here in Illinois, conditions were not as severe as last week. A weak cold front pushed through the state earlier this week, taking the edge off the hot weather and dropping the dew point around 10 degrees. It was still sticky outside, but not dangerously so. In addition, rain brought relief to some parts of the state, particularly the north. In central and southern Illinois, storms were scattered. However, in northern Illinois, it has now had too much rain lately. There were flooding rains last weekend and additional thunderstorms Wednesday night and Thursday morning. The rain was extremely heavy over a relatively small portion of eastern Iowa and adjacent northwestern Illinois this week, where rainfall in excess of 6 inches was reported. An observer with the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network in Galena reported 10 inches of rain in 13 hours ending Thursday morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible across the state this weekend as another weak frontal system moves south. That will keep the weather not so hot and humid through Tuesday. Winds will swing into the south on Wednesday, and that will turn up the heat. The best chances for thunderstorms will be across northern Illinois on Wednesday and then shifting into central and southern Illinois by Thursday and Friday. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the July 29 edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Ellen Dearden of AgriView, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing, and Aaron Curtis of Midco. The guest on the phone line today is Bill Biederman. He's one of the co-founders of Allendale. Bill, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Todd.
In June, back at the USDA Report Day for acreage, Allendale was one of the few companies that managed to peg that particular number for corn. Do you still think there are that many acres there, same as what USDA had predicted, relatively speaking? And if so, what kind of yield is there out there at this point?
Well, I think that the planted acreage number is going to stick, but it's the harvested acreage number that needs to be adjusted. And right now we're probably looking at about 800,000, you could argue up to a million, a little over a million acres dropped. As far as yield goes, I think right now it's just so difficult to say. I mean, I can tell you the pivot point on this yield is about 156. Now, I know that there's some companies saying 162 and there's some companies saying 149. Bottom line is we were headed for the 149. We got a lot of rain. up here in the north where we were having a terrible drought. We've seen some stabilizing weather in a lot of other areas. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of dry areas out there, but they're shrinking. So if we see crop stabilization, I think the 156 is the pivot. If we're above that, prices are probably going to be stable to lower. And if we're below that, you know, we're going to have a bull market.
Bill, do you have a guess on what you think the USDA will say on yield on August 11th?
They are going to survey. So, you know, I'm guessing, I mean, I would have to say it's going to be in the ballpark of 156. I mean, they were at 158.7. Typically, they'll drop it a bushel, 1.2, going into this next report, given the kind of condition losses we've seen. So you could be down around that 156.5, somewhere up in that area, just right on the brink of what I think is the ledge that is so important. I mean, we've got to have a stable carryover. And right now with a 156, you'll be pushing around 650 for carryout. That's tight.
If we, on the harvested acres, if USDA lowers theirs 800,000 to 1 million acres, are those all going to be in the Dakotas, Minnesota, or are they going to lower acres elsewhere too?
Well, obviously, you know, we're looking at a situation where they're already pointing fingers at people. You know, I mean, people were pointing fingers at the U.S. Department of Ag when they didn't open up acreage last spring. Now all of a sudden they know they're in trouble. They're pointing fingers at the Corps of Engineers saying, you guys opened levees and now we don't have enough acres. So to answer your question, yes, it's going to be all along the tributaries. That's where we're going to lose the acres. We know that. It's a given. I mean, how many counties filed for federal disaster? And how many counties did we hear 100,000 acres? It had to be at least 10. That's 1 million acres right there.
Bill, do you think we're setting up for any type of a surprise as far as grain fill goes on crop size? Seems to be, even in areas that are getting rain, it's still been very, very hot. Could that shock us on grain fill?
Absolutely, and actually back up one stage. It could be pollination. I mean, we've all seen those pictures getting passed around the Internet this week. I mean, there had to be four a day that I saw with, you know, as poor as a 40% pollination on a cob. I don't know if that's coming out of one area. I don't know if it's sweet corn. I don't know if it was a guy's back garden. I have no idea. We're trying to figure all that out. We're starting to survey clients. But I think that obviously the heat, I mean, it was hot in a big, big part of the country. It wasn't isolated like just a couple years ago. So we've got to see what the pollination is right now. And we start surveying clients, and they just tell us it's just too early. They don't know yet.
Bill, can I take you back to your 156? USDA is at 158.7, but that's an adjustment down from trend line yield of, what, 162.5. Are you sure that they'll drop down again at this point because they're already, you know, nearly four bushel off trend?
Well, that's right, Todd. I mean, there's no question about that. The issue is that these crop conditions, they typically will go in the direction of the crop condition. The crop conditions have fallen by a dramatic amount. I mean, you look at the graphs, it's one of the largest adjustments down we've seen. Now, does that necessarily mean a correspond with a direct number? No. They may only adjust it a half a bushel, but it's not untypical to see a bushel drop off of the type of numbers we've seen.
Bill, let's talk a little bit about corn demand. I mean, a little kind of a fuzzy topic in our office, and I'd like to get your opinion on it. How much corn do you think we've lost, or demand-wise, to wheat here in this summer?
Well, I think it's been significant because of the pricing dysfunctionality of the wheat market. So I think you've seen as much demand shift as you possibly could, and for good reasons. I would be doing it myself. Now, is that going to be a permanent loss if you look into 2000, you know, the coming crops year demand? No, I think that the demand will shift back to corn as soon as it can. You know, demand likes corn. They don't like to feed wheat. They like to feed corn. So, you know, the issue is how long is this window going to be closed on the corn market? Have we lost demand? You bet. Does $7 shift demand? Yes. I think we've seen what is a rationing price point. $7 begins the rationing process. Did we see the window shut completely down? No, absolutely not. If we got into a situation where we were looking at, you know, last year, hey, we had the 152 bushel yield last year. Is the crop that much better nationwide than last year? If we had 152 bushel yield this year, carry over with the same demand numbers we got right now would be 306. So, I mean, that would require some serious rationing. Would $8 do it? $8 would probably be experienced if we had that kind of yield number. But, you know, right now we're punching in the 156, 157 numbers.
So are we going to, you said we've shifted a little bit, lost a little bit of corn demand. Will that pick up considerably as we get into fall when we see the wider basis, greater availabilities, and then slow down during the year with a smallish crop?
Well, I think that you're seeing end users, you know, at least the ones that I work with, they're so well covered. I think it's that they're just looking for a basis play right now, and demand will shift back to corn. I think people, like I said, they want to use corn. Hey, you know, most end users have profitable hedges on right now. I mean, most people have, you know, we dipped down to $6, and they took advantage of that, and they locked it in, and they know if they take their basis off that, they're going to make money. Now we're back up here to $7. You know, hey, the farmer's pretty profitable too. So this is a pretty unique situation we're in. Both parties are making money. We could make a lot of hay right now if you know, it depends on the supply. You know, you guys tell me what you have for yields out there, and we can tell you the price points.
Bill, thank you so much for being along with us today.
You bet. It's a pleasure.
Bill Biederman is co-founder of Allendale. He comes to us from their offices in Crystal Lake. We appreciate his time. Now for a final word from our panelist in studio, Aaron Curtis of Midco.
Well, if you can stomach it, you might want to keep one eye on your favorite political radio station or TV station to see what's going on out in Washington. Probably influence early week trade to some point.
Ellen Dearden of AgriView.
Look for more back and forth type of trade as we start out this new week and new month.
And Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Ag Marketing.
Well, from my perspective on the producer side, lots of risk there, lots of uncertainty. We're still a long ways above crop insurance guarantees and very profitable, so there's lots of tools and strategies available to lock some profit in.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from our opening market reports to our closing market report, everything in between. It's all posted not long after it airs on our radio station at willag.org. You have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.